I said it before. I love to see and hear you sing. You look like you mean it. John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13. I missed being with you all last week, but I know you were well taken care of and well fed from the word. I texted Matt Saturday afternoon and I said, "Hey buddy, this isn't looking good." And he told me, he said, "Next time you get sick, I'd like a week heads up." So, but I know you were well taken care of last week by Matt and by our men who jumped in and did a great job for us. We're continuing, we're actually kind of wrapping up our month on love, and we're looking forward to our time in the Word this morning. I'm looking forward to it. How do you know the people that you love? I didn't say how well, I said how. You know, if you're in a crowd and maybe you get separated from them, you would know them just by seeing the back of their heads. That's how we know people. I know my wife, when she was very young at Disney World, thought she recognized her father and followed someone, and it was not her father. And she got lost at Disney World because she followed the wrong guy. It's kind of scary if you're a parent. There's a lot of people at Disney World. Now, as you grow, when you're a child, you might have a hard time recognizing, especially the back of people when you're very young. I think she was like 3 or 4 or something. But as we grow, we love people, we just know them. Again, we could see them many around many people. We could see them in a crowd, and we'd be able to spot them. We just know them. How is the love of God known? How are the people of God known? Let's ask it this way. In a crowd of people, is it easy to spot that you are a Christian? In a culture where there's lots of people, in a country where there's lots of people, in a world where there's lots of people, are you easy to recognize as a believer in Jesus Christ? We're in John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 31 down to verse 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." How are you known? Is it known that you follow Jesus? Is it known that you are a disciple? This morning we're going to talk about the very basic reality that people who know Christ's love are known by Christ's love. People who know Christ's love are known by Christ's love. So we're speaking primarily exclusively of the people of God here. Of those who've believed in Jesus Christ. I'm not only speaking to you, I'm speaking to everybody. But in this context, these are followers of Jesus and the love that they have one for another. So there's a specific idea here. The people of God are known as a people by how they love one another, by the love that they have for one another. People who know Christ's love are known by Christ's love. So, do you know Christ's love today? Say yes. Well, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and this message is specifically for us. You say no. Well, then this message of love as Christ has loved us, is for you. Let's pray. We'll begin to work through this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we are here and we are gathered around your word. This event, this activity, this opening of the word and declaring to the local church a New Testament necessity. Not an option. This is what churches do. Churches preach the word. And we now are in this local body and the word is being preached. And God, I pray for two things. I pray for the people. For myself, as this passage has worked through me in these last weeks as I've studied. And for the people who are listening. That we would see Jesus and that we would see his love. And that we would love as Jesus loves. That you would cause us to treat one another and to treat the world in such a way that people just know we follow Jesus. And I pray, secondly, I pray for the preacher. I pray for myself. Nothing good will happen this morning because of a person. Nothing good will come from me, God. Only good will come from your word. Only good things, only good actions, only good conviction, only good results will come from your spirit speaking through the scriptures. And so I pray that I would be faithful. I pray that I would not be remembered this morning, but that this truth be remembered this morning. I pray that the preacher would be silent and the word would be loud. And I ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. John 13, 31 to 35. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to spend a great deal of time in the opening, or the first few verses of this paragraph today. We're going to touch on it in just a little while and for a specific purpose. But what we're primarily going to deal with is verses 33 down to verse 35. We're going to talk about this concept of love that Jesus talks about with the disciples. But we have to start in verse 31 because we see this beautiful kind of unity given to us, and I think it models something for us. And so we're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to talk about Christ's imperative. Christ's imperative. Now, when I say imperative, when you read the Bible, or you hear a preacher talking about the Bible, you hear a teacher talking about the Bible, and they say imperative, they just mean a command. Something that's said as a command. There's no option behind this instruction. This is something that you must do. It's really not up to us. It's up to someone who's telling us. And so, Jesus gives a command here. And what is that command? Look with me at verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now also I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you. Here's the imperative, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, I told you wouldn't be able to spend too much time on the preceding verses. Do not be disappointed. I think I told you maybe last week or a few weeks ago, in starting this year, and it may take us into next year, we're actually going to work through the Gospel of John together, all right? So we're going to go all the way through the book of John. So we'll get here. But this morning, we're going to primarily look at this idea of love and this command of love that Christ gives us. So Christ's imperative. Two things about the command I want us to see. First of all, the command was initiated by Christ. The command was initiated by Christ. A new commandment I give to you. So if there's a new commandment, that must indicate that there was an old commandment. Good job. You're with me. You're awake. I love it. Yeah, so there's a new commandment here, and so we have to ask the question, what makes the commandment new? right? And remember what the old commandment is, Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a command that Jesus repeats, is right? Correct? He repeats this command of the Pharisees, you should love your neighbors yourself. What's the greatest command? But actually what Jesus does here is he specifies it and then he intensifies it just a little bit. So this new commandment given to disciples, given to followers of Jesus, now you understand the context here, this is actually a fairly narrow context but speaks generally into the Christian life. What's taking place in the upper room? Jesus is just about to go to die and he's scaring them a little bit. He says, you can't come with me. And they're going, wait a second, where are you going? You see in John chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And Thomas says, we don't know the way you're going. How do we get there? And so there's confusion. There's a little bit of a fear going on in the disciples' heart because they didn't think Jesus was going to leave. They thought Jesus was coming to free Israel from Roman oppression and that Messiah was going to set up Israel as a kingdom. But now he's talking about leaving. And they're afraid, and they're confused. Jesus didn't meet their expectations. It's the expectations of God through Christ Jesus, the children of God must be concerned about, not our expectations for him. And so this is a little bit of a narrow, specific context that Jesus specifically speaking to the disciples, but we have general instruction for all of the people of God here. So what he's saying to disciples is, you know the old one, I'm giving you a new commandment. He said, well, what makes it new? What makes it new is the standard by which we love. You say, what do you mean? In the Old Testament, it's what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty normal, right? We understand that. Because I love to love myself. Because I love myself. I'm pretty good at loving myself. If I need something, I take care of it. If I want something, I try to take care of it. It's normal for me to meet my own needs. And so the Old Testament idea is love someone in such a way that you would love yourself. That's natural. And to a certain extent, it's easy for us to understand. But what's the new commandment? Love someone as I have loved you. So Jesus comes and says, you understand the old commandment is to love your neighbor on the basis of your understanding of how you love you. The new commandment through Jesus Christ is you love people on the basis of how Jesus loves you. Okay, well, what kind of love is that? Get a passage read for you this morning. Paul prays that the church at Ephesus and then generally the people of God would understand something, that they would have strength to understand something. What is it? The height and breadth and depth of the love of God. That you'd be strengthened through it. Have you ever just stopped and contemplated what it means to be loved by God? What it means to be loved by God through Jesus Christ. Have you ever just been hit with the reality? God loves me. Say, well, it's assumed. I understand it. Do we though? I mean, let's remember who we're talking about. Without him was not anything made that was made. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, Jesus Christ. He spoke universe, galaxies, stars, planets. And he sees into time and space and infinity. And it doesn't matter how far he is in that time or that space or that infinity. He sees you. We're this little tiny speck on this little tiny planet. Do you know how small the Earth is in comparison to the other planets, in comparison to other stars? We are itty bitty in the solar system. We're tiny. The sun makes us look minuscule, and there are stars that make the sun look smaller than that. And God sees not just this speck of earth, but he sees the specks on that speck. And he says, I want them. And he chose us in him before the foundations of the world in love. He literally chose. It means he looked down and he says, I want that one and I want that one. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have been drawn to the point by the Spirit's power where you know the love of Christ. Here's something awesome. It's not based on you. It's not based on your goodness or your badness or your good moods or your bad moods. Man, aren't we glad it's not based on us? I mean, I'm all over the place, man. This morning, I got grumpy because we were going to be on time, and then we forgot something, had to go back to the house. It's like we're doing great, and I even said as we're pulling out of the driveway, I was so happy that we were on time. I acknowledged my problem. God didn't love me when I was happy more than when he loved me when I was moody. My wife may have. We're all over the place. And St. Louis says, our feelings come and go, but God's love does not. God's not going to love you more next Tuesday than he does right now at this second. God didn't love you at the time in your life that you think was best more than he loves you at the time of your life that you think was the worst. Jesus is available at every moment. So we can't love that way. That's like infinite, perfected love. You're right. We can't love infinitely and perfectly. But by the way, what Jesus is doing here is actually very specific. Because when he says, I have loved you, he's already showed them what that looks like. Say, what do you mean? Flip back a page. Well, for me, it's flipping back a page. Just jump back to the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1, chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own. All right, keep that in mind. The chapter begins with a statement about Jesus' love. Now, what does Jesus do here? Do you remember? Disciples come down, and just put yourself at the scene. Disciples come and they sit down in their upper room and they're like, well, you know, they're starting dinner or whatever they're doing. And an important part of culture had been forgotten. At dinner, it was typical for the servant of the household, the lowest of the servants in that household, to take a basin and a wash towel and go and wash the guests' feet. So disciples come in and sit down, they do their thing, and none of them assume that they're all the guests, right? None of them think that they're the servant. So what's Jesus do? See what Jesus does here? These are the passages of Scripture that I hope we don't just glance over, that we know so well. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Again, remember who we're talking about. This is the King of everything. Things that we understand and things that we don't. And he grabs a towel and water, and he does the task of the lowest servant. How does he love the disciples? He serves them. How does Jesus love you? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So loving means serving. So if you contemplate and meditate on the cosmic love of God, you say, I can't love like that. No, but we can grab towels. Because this is the love of Christ. So loving is serving. How are we doing with the serving thing? You know why the servant, you know why the disciples didn't serve? Because they all thought they were above it. Gentlemen, do we serve our wives? I think I've said it before. Men are like, yeah, I want to protect my wife. I would take a bullet for her. I would jump in front of a train. She just wants you to wash the dishes. So, nah, that's she does that. She does it because you don't. This is one of those messages that I'm going to hear preached back to me at some point in my life. Are we serving our wives? We get home, we're tired, and we get in our own world, and we're like, I just need some time. Jesus, if he didn't come away and pray, Jesus didn't have time. So if you need to go away and pray, then do that. I mean, your wife's not going to argue with that, right? Or you shouldn't, ladies. But you read things in the New Testament like, and he healed every sick person in the whole town. That's a long day. I mean, how are we serving? We go about our day and we do our thing and we forget that there's like small things around us that if we just did them, it would actually look like Jesus. It's not just being a nice person. It's being like our Savior. Kids, are you helping out at home? You have to? Well, I have chores. I have to check it off my list. And if I don't get my phone or whatever. If you do it with a sweet spirit, with absolutely no repercussions, you're being like Jesus. You know how the world knows the followers of Jesus? They're the best servants. They do so with no expectations, no compensation. They just do it. Now, I'm not saying let people walk all over you. I'm just saying serve. And I'm saying it to myself as well. It shows the love of Christ. Secondly, love means giving. Love means giving. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I'm just going to read a few verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved and gave himself up for her. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. If you read the New Testament, specifically if you read passages on love regarding Christ, the word gave is typically in there. So when Jesus says, love as I have loved, what he's saying is, you be a good servant, and you make sure it's normal that you give of yourself. I mean, the world tells us so much about love, doesn't it? You have to have the right ring and the right wedding and the right feelings and the whatever. The Bible tells us what love is. It's serve people and give of yourself. So I'm so busy. Aren't you so glad that God, who's running the universe, isn't too busy for you? You say, oh man, people just try my patience all the time. All right, just think about this with me. Think about this. There's what, 8 billion people in the world right now? Something like that, estimated? I know it's not exact. Estimated 8 billion people in the world? Okay, that's just right now. What about all the people leading up to now? We have a hard time being patient with, like, what, 5 or 10 people? God has been patient with every person who's ever lived all at one time. Talk about a capacity for patience. Every person who's ever lived all at one time. So I can't do that. I'm not God. Okay, you're not God, but the expectation is, Jesus says, love like I love. That means as much as possible, I need to be patient. As much as possible, I need to give of myself. As much as possible, I need to serve. So Jesus is completely recreating and re-standardizing our concept of love here. So first of all, the command was initiated by Christ, and secondly, the command was exemplified by Christ. And secondly, let's look at verse 35. Look at Christ's identification. Christ's identification. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. Verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So how does the world know the people of God? How does the world recognize the difference between those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ? It is this kind of love that Jesus initiated and standardized for his people. Excuse me. When he says, you love one another as I have loved you, this kind of love should be the characteristic quality of those who claim to be in Christ. So here's the idea. Here's the idea. You attend church for however many years you attend church. You could be a Sunday school, you could be a teacher, you could be a deacon, you could be a faithful, however, for however long. And if you just do it for accolades and for your own gain and your own recognition, for any reason other than the reality that you love Jesus and you love the church, you could actually be a dead person on the inside spiritually and just play games. And if you don't have love, there's great indication that you actually don't have Christ. Now, I understand. We're all working on this concept of love. We're all trying to do better, and we need to all do better. But if I do everything for myself, if I don't love and give for the right reasons, I don't serve and give for the right reasons, if I expect something for everything that I do, if I contribute to the church only based on what I can get out of it, or whatever reason, other than the fact I love Jesus, I love the people around me, therefore I want to serve, then we should really check our hearts. I had a great conversation with someone a few weeks ago about commitment to our church, and the person was like, I always, with people who have started to attend maybe for a while, and they have questions about our ministry, maybe they're talking about membership, I always ask them, what are your gifts? We'd love to find a way we can include you. And they said, here's what I'm good at, but I'll do anything, I'll try anything. And that's what we want. Because we want people saying, I love Jesus and I love people, so I'll serve. And I want Jesus to have the praise, and I want other people to be blessed, not me, so I'll serve. But sometimes our service commitments to God like come with a contract. Or our service commitments to the local church come with a contract. I'll do this, 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 and this. I won't do this, 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 and this. Let's not do that, brothers and sisters. I have this funny principle in the youth group that I won't do any silly thing, but make them do any silly thing I won't do myself. A few years ago, we had a game called Baby Food Roulette, and there were gross kinds of baby food. To show them I would do it, I ate a bite from each one, and it was nasty. As believers in Jesus Christ, that's just silly. But things that are actually important, let's make sure we don't expect other people to do things we would not do ourselves. It's like, I love the church and I love the people, but I want them to do that, and I'll do this because it's where I'm comfortable. Because what might happen if we do that is when visitors come to this church, or we as this church go out into the world, they might just see a bunch of cookie cutter people who are not willing to love and give and serve with cost. And that's not love. So, back to my question. How do people know you? Do they know you by your employment, by your credentials, by your personality? I mean, all those things are good. They can help you. They know you by your gifting. That's good. Gifts are a great way to contribute. But what if people walked away from conversations with members of Grace Bible Church? And I think they do. I'm sure they do. For many of you. And they said, there's something different about that person. I know they go to church. Maybe that's what Jesus does to people. Maybe that's what Jesus is like. For a long time, the world has asked questions in apologetics, like, how could a good God allow, a good and loving God allow bad things? Or why does a loving God allow bad things happen to good people? I wonder what would happen if those questions would just go away. If the people of God lived out the love of God. And they just saw what the love of God was looked like. And so there was actually no questions about the love of God in our culture, because Christians are answering those questions. It's like, what does the love of God look like? Well, it looks like that. And we talked about this from a few weeks ago from 1 John. No man's seen God, but we know what God looks like. He looks like love. So how do people know you? People saw you in a crowd. Just, well, they know you follow Jesus? Does the lady in line behind you know you follow Jesus? Do your kids know that you follow Jesus? Does the lady at the grocery store bagging your groceries know that you love Jesus? Because here's the truth about God. If God, within his cosmic love, sees the specks on this little tiny speck, and his love is poured out to you, why would we think that we're the only ones for the privilege of that love? There are people all over Elkhart, there are people all over the community, your neighbors, the people that you interact with, and they're looking for something that is deeply human. It is a human instinct to desire love. And God has put those instincts in us because the deepest human longings of the human heart are all met in Jesus. And so if you get to be that picture of Jesus' love, and you're the one who answers the question in someone's heart because you've shown them Jesus Christ, and you bring them to church, and they see Christ here, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that's just what God's love does. So how do people know you? Let's be known by our love one for another. Let's pray. God, we are overwhelmed. We're convicted. I ask that you would help us to love as Jesus loved. Pray now as we sing your praises that we would do so with utmost love and adoration for Jesus, for he is worthy of it, and make us like him, we ask. In his name, amen.